Good morning, Southeast Ohio. It's the 18th day of September, a Monday. 57 degrees outside our studios here on Columbus Road. They say it's going to top out around 74. That'll be around 3 p.m. It's a Monday, and we've got a free-for-all. Good morning, folks. Welcome, and Don Holbert's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And September 18th it is. 2023, of course, the year. And kind of weird outside. So foggy. I mean, you look at the Ohio map and, just north of us, and then to the southeast, it is heavy, heavy fog. Anyway, it is whatever it is, isn't it? That's the nature of weather and that sort of thing. Today, our topic is a free-for-all, so we'll cover some things going on. I did have an interesting event. Let's see, was it Saturday night? I think so. I'm a member of the Athens Rotary Club. And I don't know, a year or two ago, we celebrated our 100th year anniversary and had a nice event. And a lot of important Rotary officials from around the nation came in and met with us. And it was just really a neat thing. Well, I liked it so much that I heard that Wellston was going to celebrate their 100th birthday, or 100th year in existence, the Rotary Club there, on Saturday evening, this past Saturday. So I went, and it was a nice event. Their club is not, of course, as large as Athens, but it is still really nice folks, and they've done so much for their communities. And, again, a lot of Rotary officials were there from Ohio and even the nation. And it was just a very pleasant meal and speech and camaraderie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Neat. Well, good morning. September 18th, and today a free-for-all, so let's get going here. Historical events on this date of September 18th. The first one to be mentioned is in the year 1811, and it goes on, British East India Company force, led by Baron Minto, conquers Java, part of the Dutch East Indies. And let's see, another thing, it says Stamford Raffles was appointed lieutenant governor. A year later, in 1812, the Great Fire of Moscow burns out after 5 days of burning. 75% of the city destroyed, 12,000 people killed. 1873. Government bond agent J. Cook and Company collapses. And in with that occurring, it caused panic on Wall Street. The start of the panic of 1873 and the Long Depression. Skipping ahead to 1914, on this very date, Irish Home Rule Bill receives the royal assent. Let's see here. I want to make sure I understand that word, assent. That means approval, right? Or blessing, whatever you want to call it. Just double check, make sure I'm not making an error there. Don, please. 1931, on this very date, it says to create a pretext for the invasion of Manchuria, China. Manchuria is in China. A railway explosion is faked by the Japanese. I forgot to turn down my phone, so I just did. Sorry.
An assent is the expression of approval or
yes.
agreement.
So. Okay. Approval. I thought I had it right, but I wanted to make sure. All right. 1947 on this date, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, officially comes into existence after being established. That occurred by President Truman in July. But here it is, September. Okay, let's see here. Famous birthdays. Okay. We've got four of them. Mercy. I only am aware of one of them. Well, anyway, we'll take these in no particular order. Yes, we will. Female and male. That's how we'll do it. So the first famous birthday was that of Greta Garbo. She was born on this date in 1905. Now, she passed in 1990. Actress. And lay a few of them on us there, Don.
Like you said, she was a Swedish-American actress, regarded as one of the greatest screen actresses of all time. She was known for her melancholic, somber persona, her film portrayals of tragic characters, and her subtle and understated performances. Some of her movies were The Saga of Gösta Berling, Torrent, Flesh and the Devil, A Woman of Affairs, The Mysterious Lady, The Single Standard, and The Kiss.
Three of those I'm familiar with. Three of the movies you mentioned, but I should get to know more, I guess. Our next famous birthday is that of Samuel Johnson. He was born on this date in 1709. He passed in the year 1784. His photograph or picture or whatever I have in front of me looks like... Mercy, the old-time leaders of our nation with all that puffy hair and everything. Samuel Johnson.
Also called Dr. Johnson, he was an English writer who made lasting contributions as a poet, playwright, essayist, moralist, literary critic, sermonist, biographer, editor, and lexicographer. The Oxford Dictionary of National Biography calls him, quote, arguably the most distinguished man of letters in English history, unquote.
Wow. I wonder if he knew how to lay bricks. But that was impressive. Okay, John Diefenbaker. Diefenbaker, maybe. Forgive me. He was born on this date in 1895, died in 1979. The name rings a bell, but I don't know why. John Diefenbaker.
He was the 13th Prime Minister of Canada, serving from 1957 to 1963. He was the only progressive conservative party leader between 1930 and 1979 to lead the party to an election victory, doing so three times, although only once with a majority of the seats in the House of Commons.
Let's see here. One last birthday to celebrate, and this person is still living, celebrating his 90th birthday today, Scotty Bowman. Now, I'm sorry, often I know some of these names, and today I was really coming up rather dry, except for the actress. Scotty Bowman, who is he?
He is a Canadian former National Hockey League head coach.
Oh.
He holds the record for most wins in league history with 1,244 wins in the regular season and 223 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, thus ranking second of all time behind John Beliveau's 17 for the most Stanley Cup victories by a player, coach, or executive with 14. He coached the St. Louis Blues, Montreal Canadiens, Buffalo Sabres, Pittsburgh Penguins, and Detroit Red Wings.
Golly, that's a bunch.
and he was most recently the senior advisor of hockey operations for the Chicago Blackhawks until stepping down in July of 2022.
You know, the hockey season is about to get underway, and over the weekend, the head coach of the Blue Jackets in Columbus resigned, I guess. Something's odd up there. We'll try to follow the story as it progresses. Okay, famous deaths. Domitian, right? Born in 51 AD, he died on this date in 96 AD. And the image I have here is that of a concrete statue that was made of him. Domitian, I think it is.
He was the Roman emperor from the year 81 to the year 96, the son of Vespasian and the younger brother of Titus, his two predecessors on the throne. He was the last member of the Flavian dynasty, described as, quote, a ruthless but efficient autocrat, unquote. His authoritarian style of ruling put him at sharp odds with the Senate, whose powers he drastically curtailed.
30 years of age when he became the what's the term again?
Emperor.
Emperor, thank you. All right, one more. Leonhard Euler, E-U-L-E-R, born in 1707. He passed in the year 1783 on this date. And that's Leonhard, although I've heard some people see that word and say Leonard. But anyway, it's Leonhard Euler.
Euler.
Is it?
Euler. That's what it says on the thing, how it's pronounced on my thing.
How is it spelled over there?
It's spelled the exact same way, but like pronounced, it's like O-Y-L-E-R.
Okay.
So Euler.
Well, my historic knowledge is one of my weaker points, but do it.
He was a Swiss mathematician, physicist, astronomer, geographer, logician, and engineer who founded the studies of graph theory and topology and made pioneering and influential discoveries in many other branches of mathematics, such as analytic number theory, complex analysis, and infinitesimal calculus. He is also known for his work in mechanics, fluid dynamics, optics, astronomy, and music theory.
All right. Well, I guess about 10% of our country's unionized auto workers, members of the United Auto Workers Union, UAW, as we all know, I think, they went on strike last Friday. And this occurs simultaneously against the nation's top three automakers. According to, I think this is, let's see here. Well, anyway, I'm not sure of the source, but the writer says this is kind of different. Because, or maybe we should use the word unprecedented. Because normally, the union bargains with one automaker at a time. But this is against three of them, all at the same moment. Well, I bet you can guess what their issues are. Wages and other compensation, along with job security. The focus of the strike are at three plants. The GM factory in Missouri. And now I said the. I mean, GM has many plants, but this was this particular plant in Missouri, a Ford factory in Michigan, and a Jeep plant here in Ohio. The UAW says it may strike at more plants if the automakers don't present better offers. Needless to say, if these strikes last very long, or if they expand, this will put a crunch on the automotive supply chain. You know, like parts and stuff like that. Well, I guess time will tell. And so, headlines, what's going on? Top news category, it says Biden, President Biden, to target industrial pollution in a second term if he gets one. If the president wins re-election, his climate team is likely to try to cut greenhouse gases from steel, cement, and other hard-to-clean-up manufacturing. Let's see. Here's another story. It says the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, it says why the FDA took so long to tackle a disputed cold remedy. Pharmacists who are affiliated with the University of Florida have spent decades nudging the agency to pull a decongestant from over-the-counter medicines. Okay, if I understand this right, when I read the headline, I thought they were going in a different direction. I thought they were saying that a cold remedy had been discovered, and they were wondering why it wasn't being readily made available. But this is not the case. What they're talking about is that there's a decongestant which you can buy over the counter. It's already out there, and it doesn't require a prescription. But evidently, the University of Florida's research says it's not a healthy thing. So they want it pulled from the over-the-counter availability. Let's see here. We covered that story last week. This is just an update and nothing's changed. In case you're wondering what I was talking about, I guess I could tell you. Niger, that junta down there. Okay. Libya had those terrible floods, you know. And thousands of people died in the flooding. That Niger being in northeastern part of Libya. The city of Derna remains largely cut off from the outside world. Some New York Times reporters reached residents there by phone who described dire conditions and sent videos capturing the toll of the destruction. Yeah, it's a real mess there. Chris Christie. For Christie, the headline reads, New Hampshire's primary is do or die. An upset victory over Donald Trump in New Hampshire could be a knockout blow, according to Chris Christie. He is staking his presidential campaign on winning that state. I have known him a little bit, and I like him as a person. I really don't know a great deal about him politically. So, make of it whatever you will. In world news, South Korean prosecutors want to arrest hunger-striking opposition leader Lee Jae-myung. Has been the subject of a series of investigations since losing the 2022 presidential election, that in South Korea. He says his rival, now runs a dictatorship by prosecutors. Pretty strong stuff. Here's an odd story, at least the headline is. It says, after brutal attacks and fierce debate, the United Kingdom to ban American bully XL dogs. Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, announced steps to outlaw the dogs this past Friday after a string of deaths and a social media campaign piled pressure on the government to act. Okay, American bully XL dogs.
Pit bulls.
Okay, well, now I didn't realize they were being that specific. I own a pit bull. Hope is the sweetest dog I've ever owned. Now, granted, she only has three legs. She's kind of famous. Hope is was struck by a car out near Gloucester, and someone found that she was still alive in the ditch. Others had thought she was dead. Why am I telling this story? I've told it over the years many times on the air. Anyway, friends of the shelter got involved. They got her up to Ohio State. She had surgery, amputation, all sorts of stuff. Another couple took care of her during her recovery, and then one of our dogs died. So we thought we'd add to it, and we heard about Hope. We went up and met Hope, and Hope is cool. Anyway, pit bulls. Yeah, you know, they do have a certain reputation, and if they aren't
trained correctly,
and I'm not a perfect trainer or anything, but, you know, our home is full of love. And, well, okay. Interesting. Pit bulls in Great Britain. Let's see, how Germany's extreme right seized on the martial arts scene. It says to increase their ranks, neo-Nazi groups in Germany and across Europe are using the sport as a training and recruiting tool. All right. I've attended this event that I'm about to speak about. It's the National Championship Air Races. This is out in Nevada, Reno. This occurred this past weekend, and two pilots died in a collision during that event. The deadly crash happened during the show that was being held for the last time at the Reno Airport, which is in northwest Nevada. Yeah, it's had several different locations over the years, but it's just unfortunate, of course. You see here, I wonder what they're talking about. It says, with a new formula, U.S. news rankings boost some state universities. Oh, now I get it. Responding to critics, the publication made its biggest changes to its method in four decades. But it's unclear whether that is enough to quiet the naysayers. So, U.S. News, they rank colleges and universities, sometimes by category, like, well, let's take Ohio University, for example. Let's see, the one that I'm most familiar with is Sports Administration. It's a graduate degree, and they are ranked absolutely number one in the world. Well, U.S. News ranks all sorts of different categories. And if you were ranked number one in something and now you're number two or three, you know, that's concerning to your organization, even though you're highly ranked. So, every year when they publish these things, there's always a little head scratching. And that's happening again. Nigel, that tropical storm, it formed in the Atlantic Ocean on Saturday and has continued to strengthen since then. And it's likely to be upgraded from tropical storm to a hurricane very soon. Let's see here. Here's several different stories about politics. And I just read through them briefly, and I don't think I need to share those. Here's another story. It says, will restart of student loan payments be the last straw for consumers? Americans have continued spending despite dwindling savings and inflation. But retailers worry that resuming loan payments could push some over the edge. The economy and people's spending habits, always an item to be discussed, I guess. Let's see. In the technology world, now, Don, you're way better on this than I am. It says how to navigate Apple's shift from Lightning to USB-C.
Oh, these are the newer, like...
power systems, right?
Yeah, the new chargers.
Yeah. It says, the dream of carrying one power cable for all your devices is becoming a reality, but things are not as simple as they sound. Well, I'm not... how do I want to say this? I'm not a big fan of one brand over another. I happen to have a Samsung.
Said I have also.
I know the Apple phones are very popular. I'm just, I don't have a real preference there. But I do think that, you know, powering them shouldn't be too complicated. But I've known all along Apple had a different type of charger. Oh, well. We'll just let it go. Let's see. Why might a Parisian wine bar and ice cream parlor hire a bouncer? This summer, the owners of the wine and ice cream bar, Foderol, took a number of measures to manage crowds after their small business experienced an unsolicited wave of TikTok fame. And we've had a brief mention or two about this over the last few months. And wine bar and ice cream. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I guess everybody is aware that the Bengals lost yesterday. I think they lost by 3 points, right?
Yeah, to the Ravens.
Yeah. But the Bobcats won. That was nice.
They did.
I enjoyed that game. I went, attended it.
10-7, wasn't it?
I think so, yes. My memory isn't as strong as it used to be. Let's see here. I'm just reading through here to see if there's anything that really pops out here. Feeling a debate. Province of Museums Greek exhibit. There, Palmer. Golly. Is questioned. Feeling a debate. It goes on, after touring exhibition of antiquities from the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, Florida, raised concerns at a Denver museum, a curator was dismissed. Huh. You know, the accuracy of these historic pieces. I'm sure these historians do the best they can. And I doubt too many are knowingly presenting inaccurate data about it. But certainly it's a disappointment when someone does. All right, let's see here. Oh, you know, here in Athens, in many communities, we have these scooters, right?
Yeah.
And are they mopeds also? What do you call those things? Is scooter the only term?
Me and my friends just call them scooters.
Okay. So there's an app on your phone. And you can use it to...
Pay to use it.
Pay to rent one of those things for, I don't know, a period of time or a distance or whatever.
I think it's a period of time.
Okay. And I've been intrigued. I want to do it. Just for fun. To say I've done it. Anyway.
Yeah, they have, like, GPS monitors on them to, like, because obviously, you know, people will try to steal them.
Well, and also you need to, like, if you want to find one.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go to the app and it will tell you where the nearest one is or a collection of them. Anyway, somebody in, let's see, where is this? New York, I guess. And these are immigrants. Or migrants, we'll say. At least migrants, for the most part, are prohibited from working until they get their paperwork all straightened out, I guess. But they've been desperate, you know. Here they are. They don't have any income. These things are tough.
Yeah.
So guess what? They figured out how to make a fake app to run these scooters. Okay. This app has emerged and it's wreaking havoc. Okay. Let's see. What else? It's a Monday, folks. By the way, if you tuned in late, I mentioned that, and let me hit a button here and just double check myself. 61 degrees. The fog has lifted a bit. It was really thick here this morning, but it's lifted a bit. They say around 3 p.m. will be our high temperature. That'll be 74. Overnight, 46. But right now, 61 here on Columbus Road. All right. What else do I have here? No, I think all of these are okay. Let me set this report aside and grab something else. There we go. Well, we already talked about the United Auto Workers. CBS, and of course we are an affiliate for CBS, and we're proud of that. But they're working very hard on this. Like I could call a reporter with CBS and have them on the air with us every day. And, for example, here's a list of things I could do with CBS Today. I could work with a reporter who's working on the United Auto Workers strike. I could work with another reporter who's involved with the Ukrainian, the long war over there, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine a year and a half ago. Incidentally, they do have a story here saying, meanwhile, Ukrainian forces are reporting a breakthrough on the battlefield. Okay. So Vicki Barker would be who I'd be talking to. She's with CBS over there. Pamela Falk with the United Nations on the Ukrainian situation. And then Army Colonel Jeff McCausland. He, too, he's a military analyst for CBS. And he, too, could speak with us about the Russian war. Scott McFarlane from CBS, correspondent on the government shutdown talks, latest. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on Google antitrust lawsuit, as well as former President Donald Trump's latest legal battles. Bo Erickson, White House reporter on the President's Day this past few days. Reporter Chris Fox down in Austin, Texas on the Ken Paxton acquittal. Alexander Tin, he's a CBS reporter on the CDC's warning of fall triple-demic of COVID, the flu and RSV. These are all things we could do. But I think it's fun during this show, at least, to concentrate on what's happening in our region, if we can. Let's see here. What about headlines? What did I do with that? Here we go. Yeah, I guess we hit most of these. Okay, here's a story. This is a little odd. SpongeBob lives in a pineapple.
Yeah.
These sharks live in sponges. Researchers were not engaged in nautical nonsense when they discovered that a small shark species inhabits the absorbent and porous animals. Okay, you say you've heard about this?
I haven't. I just knew that SpongeBob lives in a pineapple. Oh, that is.
I thought SpongeBob was a cartoon character.
He is. But in the show, that's where he lives. He lives in a pineapple.
I see. Okay.
That's what they're making a reference to.
Okay. I got a whole bunch of stuff about clocks. Wristwatches. All sorts of things. And I wonder why. I on my telephone, my cell phone, I have an app that I use often. And it's simply called Atomic Clock.
Yeah.
Now, out in Boulder, Colorado, is our nation's time official nuclear time station. And it's tied into Greenwich, which is over in England, right? Those two are absolutely in sync, except that for time zones, you know.
Yeah.
But to the hundredth of a second, they're mutually tied together. Well, anyway, in my cell phone, I have the atomic clock. Well, here on the walls of the station, I'm looking up at one right now, we have the atomic clock. And it's set on daylight savings time, Eastern time standard. Eastern Standard Time. There we go.
Yeah.
I got it out. So 34, 35, 36, 9:49, 39, 40, 41, and so on. Because, of course, we need to join CBS perfectly at the top of the hour. And we need to join networks like Ohio University Athletics, which we're the flagship for, and other things right on time, Cincinnati Reds, all that stuff. Well, you know, I can go, in fact, I think I will right now, and go to my atomic clock, and it says that it is 15 seconds after, at the same time my clock on the wall said it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and my cell phone here receives an accurized update every 2 minutes or less. And what I'm talking about is from the signal out in Boulder, Colorado. And we even have tenths of a second on here.
Hmm.
What was that?
It's your phone.
Well, what was that?
I don't know.
I've never heard that sound. Anyway. I don't know what that was. Oh, now I hear faintly in the background one of the construction pieces of equipment beeping across the street.
Yeah.
Where Memorial Hospital is building their new facility. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. I think I've done most of this. Here's another story. Once again, the Ukraine and Russia. But this time, it's in a courtroom situation. The International Court of Justice, where they're each arguing over the legal technicalities underlying the ongoing war. The Ukraine accuses Russia of abusing international law by claiming its invasion of the country last February was an attempt to intervene and stop an ongoing genocide. Article 1 of the Geneva Conventions requires signees, which includes the Ukraine and Russia, to prevent and punish genocide. Russia has claimed Ukraine was systematically killing Russian-speaking populations in the eastern part of their country, obliging it to step in. Western officials have called the claims baseless. pointing out, Ukraine has been fighting Russian-backed separatists in the region since Russia annexed the Crimean Peninsula back in 2014. Well, the high-profile proceedings are largely symbolic, as the ICJ, the, again, International Court of Justice, has no enforcement mechanism. However, experts say a ruling in Ukraine's favor may help in any future restitution claims. Well, this week's hearings will focus primarily on jurisdictional claims without digging into the merits of the arguments themselves. Okay. Oh, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, he was acquitted in his impeachment trial by the state Senate 2 days ago, Saturday, which ends a year-long saga over allegations of bribery, obstruction of justice, and misuse of public funds. So, Ken Paxton's now going to return to his office and resume normal duties. Okay. The Northeast, I mean, I'm talking about Maine and Nova Scotia, that post-tropical cyclone Lee made landfall, and lots of people up there saw 3-foot storm surges, 4 inches of rain, 70 mile per hour winds, a lot of power outages. This is the 12th named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season and the first to reach Category 5 hurricane status. Lee has been churning through the Atlantic Ocean for over 2 weeks. Its rapid intensification a week and a half ago, as it drove westward toward the Caribbean, was one of the fastest in hurricane history. Well, just if you're counting, there are 2 months remaining in this year's Atlantic hurricane season. And they're expecting to have, when it's been completed, somewhere between 14 to 21 named storms, 6 to 11 of which will become hurricanes. Where was Lee? Well, the season's fifth. Okay, liquid piston, there's more on that. You know, Toyota, BMW, Ford, all looking at it very closely. I just don't, I don't know much about it, other than the stories I've shared with you here. Let's see here. Stellantis, formerly Fiat Chrysler, offers a 21% pay increase to the UAW members. Now, what had they been demanding? A 40% increase, the UAW. But Stellantis has already offered a 21%. I have not heard the outcome of that. Rockefeller Foundation has pledged $1 billion to fund climate change programs over the next 5 years. Okay, the Maui fire. They've updated the death toll, which is a bit of an improvement. It went from 115 to 97. However, there are still 31 people unaccounted for. Well, Folks, a word about some of our upcoming programs. Let's see here. Tomorrow, I think we'll be talking about the Albany Festival. And Jerry Crow is going to be our guest, maybe someone else as well. So that's coming up. I hope you folks enjoyed the Pawpaw Festival this past weekend. Let's see. On Wednesday, we'll be speaking with Holly Dahlman. She owns Little Wings Relief Works, which is also like a secondhand store. And but they are sending so many things
to Ukraine,
yes, to help them out. And I don't know how many containers they've shipped so far. We'll learn all of that on Wednesday. Interesting topic. All right, let's see here. What else can we end up with?
That jet fighter that's missing?
Yes.
Have you heard about this? Basically, yes, I think it was yesterday, an F-35 fighter jet is missing after the pilot had to eject, but it was left on autopilot.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of
it. Yeah, it's...
Where was this?
I think over South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Or...
What a mess.
Yeah, in South Carolina over near the air base in North Charleston.
And it was headed, last known to be headed for where?
That I don't know. Okay. I think they were just doing exercises, and it pilot had to eject, and it's on autopilot, so the U.S. government's asking for help finding it.
Oh, my. Well, folks, take care out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.
In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970.